It's a Hollywood homecoming for the film Canvas and its director. This is the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. Welcome back to the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Carlton Gillespie. The 2006 film Canvas is a perfect Hollywood movie. No, not that Hollywood. Our Hollywood. The one here in Broward County. The movie was filmed all across the city and some other South Florida locations and directed by Joseph Greco. He's a Hollywood native and a graduate of Hollywood Hills High School. Canvas is a deeply personal film. Inspired by Greco's childhood, it tells the story of a family that grapples with a mother's worsening schizophrenia, told on a backdrop of locations that'll be familiar to many South Florida watchers. And now the movie is coming home. The city of Hollywood, as part of their 100th anniversary celebration, is hosting a free screening of Canvas and a Q&A this Saturday at Hollywood Cinema Paradiso. But before that, here with the A's to all of our Q's is the director, Joseph Greco. Joseph, welcome to the South Florida Roundup.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
I'd like to start with this event coming up. You grew up in Hollywood, as we mentioned, and began making films here before you moved to that other Hollywood over on the West Coast. What does this mean to you, being able to come back and show this movie in particular in your hometown as the city celebrates its 100th anniversary?
Well, it is deeply meaningful. And as you said, it is a very personal story. I grew up with a parent living with mental illness. And my way of sort of sublimating all of that angst and trauma was a creative outlet, you know, making the movie, writing it, and ultimately directing it. And to be able to bring that story back to Hollywood, where I grew up, is very personal. So much of the story originated there. And, you know, art, it really does allow us to, I think, help us find meaning in otherwise difficult situations.
And it's interesting to me you mentioned art as this creative outlet to get out some of that angst you were feeling. That's evident in the film. Each of our main characters, the father builds a boat, the son takes up sewing, and the mother manages her mental illness through painting. How much of that is bleeding through from your personal experiences?
Oh, absolutely. And I didn't really intend or know at the time when I was writing it that there were these connections, but that's exactly what happens. And art really is, I think, a healing act. And all three of the characters, you know, Marcia Gay Harden plays a character inspired by my own mother, and my mother would paint and do artwork when I was young. And my father built three sailboats, and the movie is about one of those boats. And I had my own art as a kid. And so, you know, that was very important to me. And actually, in making the film, I asked, there's a wonderful organization in Fort Lauderdale called Nine Muses. And it's a peer-run organization that actually allows people who are living with a mental illness or struggling with substance abuse to actually come in and use art therapy. And so all the artwork created by the character Marcia Gay Harden in the movie, Mary, she plays a character named Mary, is actually created by these artists at Nine Muses. And they're going to actually have an exhibit on display at the Cinema Paradiso. So I'm really excited to bring them back and honor them and really, you know, help tell that story for those who might be struggling, you know, that there's always a way through. And art really can help us sublimate something and hopefully find something meaningful out of that situation.
And what was it like, I mean, working with, you know, organizations like local organizations like that and taking some of these places that kind of shaped you as you grew up and putting them into the film? What does that mean for you as a filmmaker and as a Hollywood native?
Oh, it was enormously gratifying. And, you know, it almost didn't happen because there was a time where we were thinking of we might shoot in New Jersey because it would be closer to our actors. And then at one point, we might shoot in Miami because that was where some of my producers had their offices. But I couldn't find the locations that we needed. You know, we needed not just a house, but the places where I went sailing with my father, all of those things were really important. And I realized very quickly that it made more sense to film down in Hollywood. It's really a love letter, not just to my parents and to my experience, but I think to hopefully the city. And preserving these places that are so meaningful to me and I think to so many others.
Well, as a Broward County native, I can tell you one of the great joys of watching this film was clocking all of the local landmarks and neighborhoods that I recognized. And I will say, seeing the Orange Bowl still standing in the film's opening sequence did twinge my heartstrings a little bit, but plenty of other locations are very much still there. What are the differences you see between the Hollywood in your film that was almost a snapshot of 20 years ago and Hollywood today?
That's a great question. I think, you know, the soul of Hollywood is still very much there. I like to say it's a small beach town, but it has grown up a lot. I mean, you know, on the beach, Hollywood Beach has grown up. There's a lot more hotels, a lot bigger hotels than when I was a kid. And some of the places that I would go to eat, you know, some of the restaurants are no longer there, but there are a lot of places that are still there. And I think, you know, ultimately the place I think is informed by the people and the cultures. And I'm a firm believer that authentic sense of place is a real character in any movie.
Do you have a greater appreciation for this film now that Florida no longer has a statewide incentive to film in Florida, and films like Canvas that have that really deeply personal sense of place, they just aren't made here in this state anymore?
Yes, it's true. And it is unfortunate that there isn't a real state incentive, because I think it's not just an artistic issue or an arts conversation. It's also, I think, a small business conversation, because it really is an investment in community. And there are so many wonderful stories. You guys know this. You profile so many wonderful artists. I do think there are some people up in Tallahassee who recognize this. And then there's, you know, on a local level, Sandy Leiterman and her team, the Broward Film Commission, they are so passionate and they do have an incentive. So I do think there is support. As artists, I think we just have to keep going. And my hope is to bring the next one that I'm working on back to Fort Lauderdale. It's another story inspired by true events. And I'm going to keep pushing and try and find a way to make it happen.
This is the South Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Carlton Gillespie. I'm speaking with Joseph Greco, a Hollywood native and director of the film Canvas, about the upcoming free showing of his film in Hollywood to celebrate their 100th anniversary. Well, another famous South Florida event that certainly impacted my young life and impacted filming, it didn't make it into the movie, but certainly played a role in the production, was Hurricane Wilma. Can you tell us what happened with Hurricane Wilma during the filming of this movie?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned briefly that we almost shot in New Jersey, and Joey Pants, Joe Pantoliano, who plays John, the father in the movie, inspired by my own father, he said, well, look, we're only available at this time in October. And I said, well, okay, well, if we shoot in Florida, unfortunately, that's hurricane season. And Joey said, oh, don't worry, we'll be okay. And, you know, I guess lesson learned, we actually got hit by 3 hurricanes. We got hit by Katrina and Rita during pre-production and prep. And then our third week of shooting, we did get a direct hit from Wilma on my mother's birthday, no less. It was definitely a challenge, but again, the community really rallied. And one of my producers told me, just keep shooting. And my other producers were so supportive. We just found a way, and we hooked up the generator to a gas station there in Hollywood and got everyone gas and a hot meal. And we said, look, you know, we understand you want to go home to your families. And we put our cast on planes immediately when we knew there was any chance of danger, but they flew back and we finished the film. And you know, we were filming the scene. There's a scene in the movie where Marcia Gay Harden's character is out in the rain suffering with a debilitating delusion.
Right.
And when our rain towers would turn off, the fake rain that we needed for the scene, the real rain from the outer bands of Wilma was already starting to hit Hollywood. And it was very surreal. And, you know, we filmed all night. She got on a plane at 6 a.m. and then we were down for 2 or 3 days. But, you know, by the grace of God, and I had such a wonderful crew. And some of those crew members and producers will join me at the Q&A on Saturday, the 1st, to talk about this. And I think looking back, it wasn't fun at the time. But looking back, we all have our war stories. And we were able to finish the film. And again, it's like making lemonade out of lemons. And some of the critical scenes in the movie had yet to be filmed, including the sailing scene on North Lake. You know, you do what you have to do as an artist, as a filmmaker. But yeah, it was definitely not fun while it was happening.
I think a lot of South Floridians especially can relate to that hurricane experience. It wasn't fun when it was happening, but we all have our war stories that we like to swap whenever
yes.
The next one is rolling around, don't we?
Absolutely. And hopefully we're a little more prepared for the next one.
I'd like to take a little deeper look into the film now. Canvas tells the story of a boy and his father that's navigating this difficult and really heartbreaking journey of living with a mom and a wife with schizophrenia. Can you tell our listeners more specifically, you've touched on it a little bit, but how just exactly how your childhood inspired this film and your reflection on this end result almost 20 years after its debut as it's having its homecoming screening?
When I was a child, I was very shy, and my mother had these debilitating delusions, and it got so bad that she had to be hospitalized in Florida. It's called the Baker Act, and she was a danger to herself and others, and it was, you know, unfortunately, it needed to be done, and it was a horrible, harrowing ordeal. My father just, he longed to connect with something, and again, it was about that sort of trying to make something, you know, create something artistic. So he just started building a boat in the backyard. And actually, it started in the front yard. I think there were people who complained. And so he was undaunted. He moved it to the backyard, which is part of the story of the movie.
Right.
And, you know, I always remember that time in my life because, and it was a way for me, I think, to deal with an intractable issue and try and, again, find meaning in it. I couldn't even talk about this when I was in college, you know, and I had my own journey with therapy and making the film was extraordinarily cathartic. And now, you know, here we are almost 20 years later, the movie's is going to be celebrating its 20th anniversary. It's amazing because I didn't realize I had PTSD from this whole ordeal, but it's nice to be able to frame it. And my mother, you know, loves the film and my father was able to see it before he passed away. So there's so much I'm grateful for, but it's deeply personal, and I didn't know that there were others, so many others, who have a similar story of trauma as a child or mental illness. And so I would say to those who are living with this is there is hope. You know, there are wonderful organizations like Mental Health America and National Alliance for Mental Illness that offer support, and they've rallied to support the film when it came out and are huge advocates. So I think it's all about connection, and I think that community really has to come together. Hopefully that's something that people take away from watching the movie.
And you touch on something I think very important there to the film at the end. You know, we often talk about how well does a movie, you know, hold up? And I think there are films, even modern films, that don't hold up, especially when it comes to their portrayals of mental illnesses. This film's depiction of schizophrenia has been praised for its authenticity and its tenderness. Why is that representation so important to you? Not just to dispel myths about the disease, but also encourage that dialogue about it.
Yeah, I agree. And thank you for that. That's something I'm very proud of. And I had a wonderful cast. You know, Marcia Gay Harden is such a fantastic actress. And she and Joey, both, Joe Pantoliano, did a lot of research. They actually went to a wonderful organization in New York called the Fountain House. It's a clubhouse model, peer-run group. And she really wanted to do this justice. And you're right, there's a lot of portrayals of mental illness in movies and television that isn't quite authentic, or they romanticize it. I just wanted to tell my story as it was true to what I knew. And there is a lot of stigma around mental illness still. I mean, when we made the movie, we were one of the first stories, I think, to really try and not romanticize it and not draw on too much of the dramatic tricks. You know, this is a movie really just about a family. There's no outside glamorous element to it. It's just a family trying to deal with this. Now, you know, 20 years later, there is a lot more empathy towards folks who are dealing with this, and people are a lot more comfortable talking about it. I'm deeply honored to have this chance to bring it back, and I hope that those who do see it and continue to see it will find some solace and seeing that they're not alone.
You have described this film as, quote, a love letter to your parents. You mentioned that both of them got a chance to see it. Do you remember their reactions to seeing the movie?
This is a little story. When I was making the film, I intentionally didn't share too much with my parents because I didn't want to have their voices in my head, I guess figuratively, not literally. But I wanted to just tell my story as it was authentic to me. But when it was finished and before we locked picture, I did play the movie for my mother on a DVD. I came to her home and I was nervous. After I played it, she looked at me with tears in her eyes and she loved it. And that meant so much. Sometimes when my mother is having a difficult day and she still lives with this illness, you know, we're able to talk about the movie and talk about, you know, you remember when Marcia was acting that way, you know, and it kind of, it's a nice shorthand for her to remember, okay, yeah, I do have this issue. It's not easy, for sure, but yeah, I'm very happy that my parents enjoyed the film.
Joseph Greco is the director of Canvas. The free community screening celebrating 100 years of the city of Hollywood will take place tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. at Hollywood Cinema Paradiso. Joseph, it's a wonderful film. Thank you for sharing it with us, and thank you so much for joining the roundup.
Thank you.
Finally, on the roundup, Haitians across South Florida will honor native tradition and spirituality in celebration of their annual Festival of the Dead. WLRN's Wilkin Brutus has more.
Tafami Soleil's song Racine, which means roots, captures the spirit of Fête Gidée, Haiti's Festival of the Dead, which is observed annually November 1st and 2nd. And the tradition blends Vodou and Catholic influences to honor ancestors and Lakou, which means the land and community. Here's Mi Soleil.
We need to find ways to stay connected to our roots because this is what we are. This is who we are. We can be our own Lakou anywhere in the world.
The festival, hosted by Haitian musician Nati Dread Aiti, features performances by jazz trumpeter Jean Caz, Afro-electronica artist Val Genti, and the band Rara Nu. The festival also educates Haitians who feel disconnected from the history of Fête Gidée. Mi Soleil says traditional Haitian spirituality is both the creative heart and foundation of the celebration. I'm Wilkin Brutus in Palm Beach County.
That will do it for the South Florida Roundup. The show is produced by Jimena Romero with assistance by Denise Royal. Katie Munoz is our director of original live programming. Mateo Sanchez is digital director. Sergio Bustos is WLRN's Vice President of News. The Vice President of Radio and the show's technical supervisor is Peter J. Mertz. MJ Smith engineered today's show. I'm Carlton Gillespie. Have a great weekend, and thank you for listening.
WLRN.